I hear you're in Woodbridge. That smells like the National to me.
I'm sitting in the parking lot right now.
See, I knew it. When they said, when they said, oh, he's in Woodbridge, I said, he's not in Woodbridge. He's at the National. He just played.
You know what I didn't? I haven't had a chance to hit about 20 balls today, first time, because I've had some fixing up to do after the season here, some body stuff. But so today I was able to hit about 20 or 30 balls, so I'm not ready for you yet.
All right, Mike, what surgery did you have?
Just minor stuff to toes and my mouth, so just a couple of weeks before I could kind of be on my feet.
Are you all better?
Yeah, yeah, we're getting there, but yeah, nothing serious. So,
how'd you hit some balls? You hit them any good?
Like, hit a couple, not bad. Well, the reason I was actually, I actually requested to come on tonight, and I you know, if you
requested,
I did, yeah. And the reason was that, you know, I'm playing my season this year, and
yeah,
I'd get friends from, you know, once in a while from Toronto calling me saying, you know, geez, Bob is really just ripping your golf game apart on the radio. And he's telling, you know, if he's easy money, just play Camilleri, and he thinks he's a one handicap. And so
true.
I said,
it's
so
true.
I got to set the record straight. And, the, you know, we played last summer.
Yeah.
And
you probably beat me, too.
Anybody who's played golf knows anybody can have a few bad holes. I mean, anybody.
Oh, come on. Really? You're not going to go there, are you?
And so I tell Bob this story about how, you know, hockey players are ultra competitive guys. And, you know, in my experience playing
That's
with
true.
Buddies of mine that are hockey players, you know, if they fired 72 or 3 one time, they'll tell you they're a one handicap. So it's a good chance for you to make some dough on the course.
Right. And also, like, if a guy hits a ball, one time hits a ball 300 yards, and you ask him from then on the rest of his life, how far do you hit it? I hit it 300.
Exactly.
Right.
Even though his average is probably 260. Right.
Right.
So a lot of guys don't know those actual numbers. So I'm telling the story. And of course, I hit it sideways for 4 holes, and Bob's getting a little bitter because I'm his partner. And the next thing I know, he's just ripping me on the radio the rest of the year. I mean, I was only a few over the rest of the way, Bob. I mean, that's not really
Did we make money or did we lose money?
We lost. We got to get those guys back.
All right.
Mike, I've never seen Bob be upset at his partner on a golf course in his life.
I don't believe in that.
Now, I wasn't upset with him.
Oh, Bob. Bob, you went right from the golf cart. You threw your clubs in the trunk
of
the car.
That's not true.
You left your shoes on, and the car was started, and you left.
We had a nice day.
I don't think he played 17 and 18.
He may not have.
Well,
I don't think he did.
Well, you were playing so good by that point, Camilleri. There was no point, you know. I mean, I knew you were going to go birdie, so I figured, what's
the...
We had
a great time. Thanks for having me out.
It was good. We'll do it again. Yeah, we'll do it again. It's a great place. So, what do you think? I mean, did you watch any of that Leaf thing the other night?
You know, it was 2-1 going into the third. I put my daughter to sleep, and she was a little restless. By the time I came out, it was 4-all. You know,
no.
I didn't know what happened.
Oh, no. Oh, well, it's just as well, probably.
Yeah.
So you're one of those tough pro players that actually watch games?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Sometimes.
I'm a fan of the game. Yeah, so if I'm for sure, I love to watch the games. And you know, growing up in Toronto, I got so many friends that literally bleed blue and white. And so, I grew up watching. I was the perfect age for the, you know, the Dougie Gilmore and 90s, you know, the early 90s and LA Kings and all that. So you always watch. And that was a tough one. I mean, what's there to say that hasn't been said?
So let's take you all the way back to Mite Hockey. Do you ever remember a game like that that you participated in, where the wheels just came off that dramatically?
I remember them the other way. I remember going into Georgetown one time, Richmond Hill Vaughan Kings against Georgetown. I think we came back from 5-1 down to win 6-1. But, I mean, I'm talking 8, 9 years old.
So, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's how rare it is.
It was first time, right, in that game 7?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
You got a feel for those guys. You know, I thought they played well, and they played hard, and both teams did, obviously. It was a great series. It was great hockey to watch. I mean, just good for everybody. That's playoff hockey at its best right there.
So you have a former teammate that's on to the second round in Jerome Iginla in Pittsburgh. Any contact with him? Any discussions with him? Is he enjoying himself?
Yeah, a couple text messages here and there. You know, he's really enjoyed kind of, for him, it's been, I mean, such a different experience, right? He played one place his whole life. And not only did he play one place, but he was the face of the franchise for the majority of his professional career. So he only kind of saw how things happen one way. And so for him to go there, it's just been a big transition. And I think you saw that you're early on. I mean, he's working hard and he's trying to make things happen, but maybe not feeling as comfortable as he can. And now you're seeing the production come that you'd expect of him. And I got to think, I mean, who knows, obviously, but I got to think them in Chicago are the two favorites that look like they'd be tough to beat. Mind you, L.A. looks scary right now.
Yeah, as an opposing player, L.A. or Chicago, who would you rather face? I mean, LA's going to beat you up physically, you know that, and it's going to be tight and tough. Chicago's got lots of firepower.
That's the thing, right? Like, in these playoff games, the thing that's so scary to me about Chicago is, and you saw it in the St. Louis series, is when you get game breakers that can just, you know, you need timely goals. You're playing against good teams who are going to score goals. You know, you're never going to shut teams down totally. I mean, it happens the odd time, but yeah, throughout a series. And, you know, when you look at Chicago, you go from Kane to Taves to Hossa to Sharp to, I'm probably missing a couple of them, but guys who can just be game breakers. You know, if one guy's feeling it that night, he pops a couple and it's game over, right?
Yeah. Well, they come in waves, don't they, when you're going against Chicago. So let me take a second and wind back the clock a little bit. This might be an interesting summer in Calgary. Do you have any expectations as to how things are all going to settle?
You know, I don't. I'm kind of interested also. I just, you know, at this point in my career, you kind of sit back and watch and sure, you've seen some different things happen. So interesting to see what Jay does here this summer and the direction he goes. And, you know, we'll see. I don't have more than you. That's the most boring answer I think I've ever given.
No, that's okay.
I don't have an idea. No.
What was your impression of Bob Hartley?
I like Bob. You know, Bob's he's an intense guy. He can be an in-your-face guy. What you got to respect about Bob is that he's going to work his butt off every day and try and make you better. And so I feel like I actually learned some things this year. And when you come out of a season thinking that, and as a player, I felt like I got better. Obviously, it was a tough year for us overall, but I learned from him. So there's that.
At this point in your career, nobody really likes to go through a rebuild. But are you confident that this is a rebuild now? You know, we've been down this road a few times with the Calgary Flames, so you're never really 100% sure. Do you have a sense?
I just think that there's, you know, it used to be kind of, there was a model, right? This model, the rebuild model or the go for it model. I think now, I mean, there's so many different
something in between
models. Oh yeah, out there. I mean, did Montreal go through a rebuild last summer? I don't know. A couple of young guys played well, and you know, they had a great year. New coaching staff. Who knows? But what did it for them? But so it's like, how long does it take? Is it a rebuild? How do you phrase it? You know, for me, you just kind of want to. At this point, You know, you want to know one way or another where you fit in the plans or where you don't, and that's all. But we're happy there, and hope that things can pick up quickly, and before you know it, it's not looked at as a rebuild, but a competitive team.
Well, it is a city that loves its team, and I don't think there's a more passionate hockey fan in the country than a Calgary Flame fan. So go ahead, Mike.
I just wanted to say on that is it's a cool city to play in as a hockey player, because having played in Montreal, having grown up in Toronto, you get the kind of Canadian diehard love their hockey. It's the most important thing to them. However, it's this kind of, it's a little bit of a smaller town, Western Canada, where it's not as, I guess, intense in the everyday lifestyle kind of.
Yeah, a little more laid
as
back.
The other cities might be. So yeah, it's a pretty cool mix to play there.
Listen, get healthy. I'm not 100, I got a bad wing right now, so I'm not quite healthy. But in the next few weeks, grab your wallet and get ready to play.
Oh my God.
All right. We're going to be partners, Bob. You got to start the positivity here this time, okay? We're going to take the other guys down.
Yeah. Don't come with a one handicap this time, though. Will
I think I'm up to a two already. I haven't even played yet. I think at the end of the year I got up there for you. But.
3-4. That'd be good. I'm comfortable there. Thank you, Michael.
Good.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, guys.
All the best.
Take care.